Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. In a time of such obvious deceit and aggressive manipulation, not only by those who once sought our votes or our subservience, but today even by each other, unwittingly doing the bidding of those who seek to control our every purchase, our every click, view, and action. One would think that every plan and decision put forth by these known liars of our recent past and present political elite would be immediately scrutinized and deconstructed for motivation or corruption. Yet that's not exactly the case, at least not where it matters. How did this come about? How did they create a culture in which we are now doing the deceiving for them? One in which we are no longer skeptical, but accepting, willing, pleading for their solutions. This happened as it always has, by allowing us to think that it is of our own creation, creating a problem for which they have already been planning a solution for years, waiting for us to react accordingly, and then giving the slightest of resistance, lest we feel we did not have to fight for what we've been programmed to think we want, and finally they put into effect what they wanted all along, allowing us to think we won the day. That was the intro from my interview with James Corbett. And after reviewing it the other day, I felt it was important to reiterate this point, as clearly this was in regard to the regulation of social media. But as I reflected on what's going on today, and I, you know, and many in this show and chat and shows in general in this channel are well aware of this concept, but that this applies broadly to everything that we're talking about. How they are aggressively, actively trying to manipulate your perception before you're even aware that there's a perception to be manipulated, so to put you in a certain direction, to keep you from addressing what's really going on, to keep your focus acutely where they want it. So we fail to recognize what's actually happening with our tax dollars in your name around the world. That's very important for us to take in regard to all the stuff we're talking about and what's seemingly coming to a head today in many locations around the world as more are waking up, more are asking questions, more are beginning to point out the flaws, the cracks in the system that they present as flawless and altruistic. So keeping that in mind today, going through the rest of these stories, think about how your perception may be manipulated or skewed in order to get you to look the other way. Get you to see something different, or get you to ignore something altogether. So to begin, I want to quickly point out a quick hat tip to Syriana Analysis, who always does a fantastic job, who came out with a video, and I've seen a lot of people point this out today, Eva Bartlett being another one, but this is a very important video. I first saw it from Syriana Analysis, and his video is entitled Bashar al-Jafari, There is a Huge Raping Elephant in This Room. And I highly recommend you watch this video in full. I won't be playing it now for time in general. I will be playing this after the show in the TLEV research and review, so feel free to stay tuned for that after the show. But this is an important video to check out. I think it's very important. And obviously the gist of what this is discussing is about the concept of what's going on in Syria today. And addressing the facts that seemingly are almost common knowledge today. Yet nonetheless, they still continue to force this narrative of what the U.S., the West, says is going on in Syria. About how the U.S. is not supporting extremists in Idlib or in general. About how they're not preparing yet another false flag event in the country. About how somehow Assad is still continuing to hurt his own people, despite all the evidence to the contrary. And despite the fact that the U.S. themselves have actively and multiple times said that they have no evidence to support those claims, yet continue to reiterate them. This video is showing Dr. Bashar al-Jafari, and he is the permanent representative of the Syrian Arab Republic to the United Nations, and just lays out the evidence, and this is what's important, as we continue to hear this both sides of the story, and as we should always be skeptical of all sides. It's important that we realize when we have one side saying, yes, here's what's happening, but yet it's classified. Sorry, national security, I can't show you anything that backs up even in the slightest what I'm saying. And then we have someone like this who literally just presented evidence to the United Nations, to the council, showing them, look, here is our proof of canisters of chlorine being brought in by the extremists who are currently supported by the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. So make sure you check this out yourself. I will be showing this after the show, so stay tuned if you'd like to see it. As always, we should be skeptical of everything we're hearing from the West, especially in regard to Syria. And as it relates in the next story coming from the Ron Paul Institute, another excellent story. And as always, they do a really good job in their daily shows as well, highlighting some of the same things that we talk about. This article and video entitled UN Sees War Crimes in Yemen, but Mattis vows continued war support. Again, showing us very clearly what's going on here, how we know that there are war crimes taking place. The world is beginning to speak out about what's going on in Yemen. We are continuing to address this. The UN, multiple international bodies for that matter, have said, yes, there are war crimes taking place. And then the US's direct support clearly gets called into question there. And yet now Mattis, regardless, has said, nope, we're going to continue to support the war. Now, General Mattis recently sent a 3-star general to investigate the supposed war crimes. And of course, he came back seemingly without delay. We should be questioning how he was able to conduct such a thorough investigation within a week. But he came back saying, we see no callous disregard to what happens here. Remember thinking of the 40 children killed in a bus, the 22 children killed in another bus the next week as the media failed to redress the second one. Yet as they demonstrate in this very episode, which I recommend you watch, the UN's own report that the US strong-armed into ignoring showed exactly that, callous disregard for civilian lives. Not to mention all of this evidence we've shown over the last so many years of actually directly targeting civilian infrastructure. Yet there's no callous disregard by this US ally. The facts are all there. Right? A conscious choice to bomb civilians. And worse yet, in this regard, the US is very, very aware of this and forced the UN to ignore it nonetheless. Not to mention the story we just talked about the day before yesterday about Mohammed bin Salman openly saying we are actively targeting civilians and will continue to make them shiver when they hear the name Saudi Arabia. But don't listen to any of that. Just trust that their generals and the U.S. foreign policy is out to do the best possible thing for you and for the Yemeni people, despite all the evidence. To the next story coming from The Independent of all places, something that was shared with me today just before the show by one of my favorite community members of the Discord chat. I'm not sure if she'd like me to say her name, but thank you for showing me this article. This one entitled, Iran Put on Notice for continued mischief in the Middle East, says Defense Secretary. Of course, as they're currently continuing to support the war crimes, acknowledged war crimes of Saudi Arabia in Yemen, they're saying, oh, well, just let's look at Iran, put them on notice for mischief that we can't really point out. Arbitrary, lofty concepts of mischief and terrorism that we really have no evidence to support. This was also shared by David Icke's site. This was what the source came from, The Independent. Now, the article does actually point out a lot of important information, but there are also some propaganda measures in there, as always, from mainstream media. But this is an important article. Now, Defense Secretary James Mattis said Iran has been, quote, put on notice, and that its continued mischief in the region will not be tolerated by Donald Trump's administration. Of course, just saying these things does not make them true, because there's really nothing to point out. Every time they discuss, they say, oh, well, the deal and their missiles and their involvement in Syria, that they were asked to be there by the sovereign government of the Syrian Syrian nation. But just their mischief, right? That's just this ambiguous claim they continue to throw out with things that are easily debunkable. Mattis called the Iran the single biggest destabilizing element in the Middle East during a press conference in the Pentagon, along with the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Dunford. The biggest single destabilizing element. Think about the gall it takes to say something like that, as the United States is currently destabilizing more countries around the world than any other nation, while Israel is committing genocide on the Palestinians, while Saudi Arabia is committing genocide on the Yemeni people, both with the support of the United States, while Iran is asked to be in Syria, has never attacked another country in all of the years we're talking about here, since the beginning of the United States, never. Yet they're continuing to say the biggest destabilizing element. Quote, Iran has been put on notice that the continued mischief they've caused around the area, again, without really backing up that, just saying it, that what they've caused that we can't really point out, the murder they've caused, and the regime support of Syrian President Bashar Assad. There comes the point. The regime support of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. as if that's somehow a negative thing. He goes on, he warned they are, quote, going to be held account for it, but did not go into detail about what that entailed. Of course not. No details are necessary. National security. Mr. Mattis said before he felt Iran posed the largest threat to the U.S. Interesting. Up to the U.S. of all places, possibly even more than North Korea. Even though neither has done anything remotely close to the aggression of both the U.S.'s closest allies. It's mind-boggling to see the way that they present this stuff. Mattis did acknowledge he felt that there was, quote, less willingness to be confrontational on Iran's part, and added they are still fundamentally a destabilizing factor in the region. This is the most ridiculous political doublespeak, basically trying to get ahead of the game and say, well, they're not really confronting anybody, but fundamentally they're a destabilizing factor. It's just wishy-washy nonsense saying that they're somehow destabilizing things, but not really when you really look at the picture. It's below there that you can't really see, but they're destabilizing things. With all the evidence we have of all the other countries actually killing people, no, Iran and their subterfuge behind the scene that you can't really see. While that's entirely a possible thing, we have to address the facts at hand and the reality of what's really going on here. Mattis also clarified, quote, our problem is not with Iran, it's with the Iranian regime leader, not the Iranian people. I just want to separate those two as well, he said. Of course, with them continuing to say, no, we're not seeking regime change, but our problem is with the regime. Of course, not the people. Even though all the people largely support the current democratically elected leader, the regime they want to put in place is the MEK, which is the ultimate point, all backed up by decades of actual evidence of what's going on here, and Mattis and Bolton and Giuliani and many other people saying as much. Have to address the facts here. Mr. Mattis said emphatically what they are doing in Syria. What are they doing in Syria in the first place? He claimed Iran was propping up Mr. Assad, who has committed mayhem and murder on his own people. Here's where it comes to the point. It has nothing to do with all of these flimsy claims they're throwing out with absolutely nothing to back it up. It comes down to them supporting a country who is their ally, who they were asked to be there. The same country the U.S. is right now illegally occupying and supporting the last stronghold of the extremist factions in Idlib. The Al-Qaeda rebranded faction that the White Helmets are supporting, that the U.S. is supporting, that Israel and Saudi Arabia are supporting. The U.S. is currently there, and this is where we're going to get to in a moment about the coming false flag. But this is the point. Propping up Assad, killing and murdering his own people. Well, I hate to break it to you, Mattis, but there's something that we constantly bring up on this show. The fact that you yourself has said there's no evidence of Syrian use of sarin gas more than once. Even in regard to the recent supposed chlorine attack in Douma, he has acknowledged we have no evidence to support that claim. We have no evidence to support that claim. Yet he then comes back and says, yes, we call on them to be account for their crimes because Syria is a regime and their leader is killing people. Leader is killing people. Except we have no evidence to support that claim. This circle of information, we have to recognize the absurdity of how they continue to force this concept. Nikki Haley continues to just blithely say Assad has murdered people, but we have no evidence to support that claim. This is propaganda, ladies and gentlemen. This is the core concept of what they're doing right now. Manipulating the public who does not know any better, despite them saying as much to the public. It's incredibly frustrating to continue to see this come out. We have to begin to recognize this. Not only have they admitted they don't have evidence, they continue to push that forward, but yet we're seeing this take place right now as they demonize Iran, who is not doing even a fraction of the things that the U.S. allies currently are. Really let that sink in. We cannot be misled, people. We are currently on the wrong side of history, and that is a reality that really must sink in as Americans, as the rest of the world is beginning to recognize. Moving on to the next story coming from Mint Press News, directly related to the story in Iran, it definitely gives us an insight to how, despite all the lofty and disingenuous claims by the U.S. about supporting the Iranian people, it turns out that's actually not what's happening. Coming from Mint Press News, quote, entitled, Google, Facebook, and Twitter are censoring Iranians. A censored student journalist speaks out. Now, of course, we could argue, or many would probably argue, that this is not a journalist, but these are propagandists in Iran, and they're pretending to be, but the reality here is we have a lot of evidence to support this claim. But as always, be skeptical, come to your own conclusions, and look at the evidence at hand. Now, Google, which owns YouTube, of course, Facebook, which also owns Instagram, and Twitter have removed hundreds of Iranian social media accounts that have been accused, without evidence, of course, of being linked to the government in Tehran. Now, we also discussed the 600 plus accounts that they just kind of arbitrarily deleted with really no evidence supporting anything, just kind of backwardly linked to Syria or Iran, many of which they're discussing here. This has been going on for a very long time. And these are people speaking out now saying, wait a minute, I'm just an average person that you claim to support, and you just deleted my account. These suspensions were based on a questionable, thinly sourced report by the American cybersecurity firm FireEye, which is led by a former U.S. military officer, of course, which is a company we looked into on one of the last TLAB research and reviews, very clearly showing direct connections to the government, of course, knowing that they have an agenda here, as we pointed out many times before. But contrary to what numerous corporate media reports are claiming, of course, some of the Iranian accounts being banned are in fact not operated by the government. In fact, many are average Iranians who whose opinions do not fit into the tightly managed pro-war Washington consensus. An Iranian student and independent journalist whose social media account was suspended is now speaking out, among many others. Saeed Mousavi ran a fairly popular Twitter account under the handle at Saeed Mousavi 7, where he reported factually on Iranian affairs and dispelled propaganda about his country. Basically one of those people on the ground saying, hey, look, you know all the things you're hearing in Western media? Here's proof that it's not actually happening the way they say it is. And of course, he got banned. He got banned after putting out a video doing just that, that was spread by a lot of people. This is the reality on the ground. This, in my opinion, there's no other way to see this. But as always, come to your own conclusions. Research this for yourself and decide whether I'm wrong. Decide whether Saeed Mousavi is an Iranian propaganda agent. But the reality of all the evidence we've seen thus far, I find it impossible to see it any other way, simply based on their past efforts. The past violent regime change effort in Iran dating back to 53 and what they've been doing since. It seems very clear that they've shut these things down. The CIA is on record talking about doing exactly that. So ask yourself, would they be doing it today? I would say most likely. Moving on to another story about another U.S. ally doing terrible things that's not getting talked about by the media, coming from geopoliticsalert.com, entitled Raids and Abductions. Israel approves 1,000 new settlements in West Bank. This is an ongoing story we've talked about. We recently, in the past, showed you one of these horrifying videos of women being thrown to the ground, children torn from their mother's arms, and bulldozers screaming in over their houses. The currently already displaced Palestinians in occupied Palestine being displaced yet again for more settlements because Israel arbitrarily deems it so. This is the horrifying concept and reality on the ground for these Palestinian people, but you don't hear about this. And guess what? This stuff's not happening in Iran. Israeli occupation forces demolished the family home of an extrajudicially executed teenager, Mohammed Tarek Youssef, in the Kobar village near Ramallah overnight Tuesday. The demolition order, issued a day prior on August 27th, notified the family that their home was to be demolished September 13th. Giving them a day notice to just uproot their entire family that had already been displaced before. Horrifying to realize that. Imagine if someone came to your home and said, guess what? You got to be out by tomorrow as we tear down your home and build whatever we decide. Good luck finding something else. The IOF waged the home demolition in response to the stabbing of three settlers in the Adam settlement by Youssef last month, resulting in the death of one settler and the injury of two others. IOF forces had shot Youssef dead Tuesday and are still in possession of the teenager's corpse, refusing to release it to the family. In addition, IOF forces raided other locations in Ramallah earlier Tuesday until noon in near the Kobar village, abducting 10 Palestinians. According to the Palestinian Prisoners Society, they stormed and invaded these homes. On Wednesday morning, the IOF stormed more locations in the West Bank, abducting 17 more civilians. Again, imagine the scenario where these things can just happen, kidnapped from your home in the middle of the night with no due process, no understanding of what's going on, no accountability. This is the reality for these Palestinian people. Even if crimes are committed, do they not get due process or have rights to defend themselves? No, that's not what happens here. This is an apartheid state. This is an authoritarian state. They are occupied Palestine. Last week, Israel approved plans to build over 1,000 new settlement homes. Illegal under international law, by the way. 96% of these settlements require the direct forced removal of existing Palestinians. 384 new homes have already been approved. Remember, these people have already been displaced from their homes, removed from their homes, their homeland, removed forcefully, forced to resettle somewhere else, and now they're being kicked out yet again. These are the allies the United States government supports with your tax dollars. $10.5 million a day going from American tax dollars to support the apartheid state of Israel. Let that sink in. Understand what's going on as they demonize Iran for things they really can't prove. And a positive story in general. I mean, it's a sad story, but it's got a positive light to it, realizing that people are beginning to call out the crimes of the past as well as the present. A story coming from antimedia.com entitled "Vietnam Demands Monsanto Finally Be Held Liable Over Agent Orange." Now, this is a horrifying story. I know these pictures are hard to look at. But the sad reality here is that these children, these families, generationally have been abused due to the aggressive use of chemicals that they knew would cause problems. Knowing that was the entire reason, just like we've seen them use depleted uranium in Iraq and different places for the very purpose of hurting these people. And this is what's happened. There's many, there's a lot of evidence to look this up and understand what they've been through. Generationally, generation after generation, having birth defects, horrifying things because they decided to use Agent Orange in Vietnam. And now they're asking that they be held accountable, and rightly so. In the wake of a U.S. court ordering Monsanto to pay $289 million in damages to a man who says the weed killer Roundup caused his cancer, which we reported on more than once, which is a fantastic case. And we also reported that the share stock of Bayer dropped over $12.9 billion the next day, also a good thing. But Vietnam has called on the agricultural company to pay reparations to Vietnamese people, their victims of this Agent Orange use, which they should. This is basic concepts here. Knowing that they use this in their malicious intent, they absolutely should be held accountable. Monsanto, now a unit of Bayer, was one of the manufacturers of Agent Orange. The U.S. dumped roughly 45 million liters of this noxious compound, which contained dioxin, on Vietnam during the war, unleashing, quote, a slow onset disaster whose devastating economic, health, and ecological impacts are still being felt today, according to the report, with its long-lasting impacts on the Vietnamese, as well as U.S. service members who were also there, Americans who felt that are currently dealing with the same things. It's been called, quote, one of the most tragic legacies of the war. One of the most, because understand, there's always many tragic legacies of U.S. carried out wars, as well as any war for that matter. But as we've pointed out in the past, these things are done to hurt these people. And that needs to be held to account. As Mattis is saying, Iran needs to be held account for supporting an ally and not attacking anybody ever. This is what we should be talking about. This is what should be held to account. War crimes, just like are being committed in Yemen. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming from mintpressnews.com. Again, a follow-up generally about what's going on, and this is an important one to take away today that we've continued to point out. We've continued to call out well before this has been happening, month and months ago. This article entitled, "Something Big is Coming to Syria Amid Warnings of New Chemical Attack." Obviously, the picture there of Nikki Haley showing children we know is a false event now, when widely disproven, shown to ultimately never to have happened, and actively carried out by Western powers. White helmets, al-Nusra, U.S. support, U.K., France, these groups directly involved with this. And now we know something else is coming. As we see U.S. ships and Russian ships and people preparing, we clearly can see something's being prepared for. And as we know, all the evidence thus far has shown us they are in fact preparing for something in Idlib, which currently has the Al-Qaeda rebranded group there with support of the White Helmets and the U.S. directly backing them. Recognize that. Recognize that the U.S. is directly backing an extremist group. The very group, interestingly enough, they pretended to be fighting when they first invaded the sovereign nation of Syria. But now, of course, the direction has shifted to Assad because he's there, and that's ultimately the reason they're there in the first place. Now, we warned previously that something big was coming in Syria. As the final showdown for Al-Qaeda-held Idlib looms, with the Syrian army and Russian aerial naval forces taking position, the Pentagon and the U.S. officials continue pushing the gambit, setting the stage to play the Assad is gassing his own people card should so much as an inkling of a White Helmets allegation emerge, just like we saw in Douma. in an unprecedented level of telegraphing intentions for leverage on the battlefield, as we know that Bolton essentially notified them on the ground, saying, anybody does anything, we're going to carry out an attack. And right on cue, of course, CNN ramped up its coverage over the past week with its talking about the last rebel-held stronghold in Syria, discussing Idlib, also showing you very clearly that CNN has also taken sides and saying, we support those extremists in Idlib, rebel-held areas, knowing this is simply al-Nusra. This is al-Qaeda rebranded. They've even sent a hijab-covered reporter into the territory under rebel permission to interview civilians in CNN, saying Assad seeks to wipe us out, possibly through sarin or other chemical attack. Interesting how this seems to play out, despite all the, almost entirely, the actual civilians on the ground have quite a different story to tell. And also ask yourself how CNN always seems to be able to get in with these terrorist-held groups. Except the rebel coalition in control of this major final holdout, as they call it, is but the latest incarnation of al-Qaeda, calling itself Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS. And has held the province, the capital city of which is Idlib City, since a successful Western and Gulf ally-sponsored attack on the area in 2015. And remember that the White Helmets have actively asked to be brought there. Again, dispelling the notion that the White Helmets are anything but a terrorist propaganda arm. From National Security Advisor John Bolton's statements last week to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's warnings to his Russian counterpart on Tuesday's State Department press briefing, where spokeswoman Heather Nauert reiterated to the reporters, the United States, quote, will respond to any verified chemical weapon used in Idlib or elsewhere in Syria in a swift and appropriate manner. Of course, using the term verified, except that's not what happened in Douma, where all they used was White Helmet reports, and to them, that's verified because they support the White Helmets. Verified would mean the OPCW going to investigate, but of course, they bomb before they could even get in Syria. So you have to ask yourself what verified means. One of their allies telling them it happened? Of course. It now appears the U.S. stands ready to respond militarily to even the most unlikely and flimsiest of accusations. We've talked about the verification from the first video and Syria analysis, more than just that video, but the actual evidence he supported of 8 canisters of chlorine gas being brought into Idlib by these extremists, supported by the United States. We have to be ready for what's about to happen here, if they actually choose to carry it out, with all of the evidence standing against them. But we realize what's important. They're backed into a corner now. They're an animal lashing out, and they're trying to fight for the last grasping control they have in this area. As we know, demonstrably, that they have tried to keep this going for years to destabilize the country, to overthrow the Assad government for many different reasons. I mean, we have to be able to see what's really going on. We have to be able to stand back and recognize the long game and the manipulations they've played in the past and how it very clearly lines up with what they're doing today. I mean, it's difficult, aside from all of this, with all the going on, choose which stories are most important. And much of what we have been discussing lately has, in fact, had to do with Yemen, Palestine, and Syria, as much of it was today, as those are, in my opinion, the worst of what's happening today, two of which are some of the worst humanitarian crises in the world today and are being created, perpetuated, even intensified, and the other is another waiting to happen should the world be taken by yet another obviously false propaganda campaign by the West. But do not think for one second that this is all there is out there today. We could have just as easily talked about the U.S. colonialism in Africa and the rising extremist threat in Libya being created by U.S. foreign policy, or even the recent violent coup in Nicaragua that the U.S. was directly behind that the Nicaraguans successfully fought off. But at the end of the day, I hope you think on what I said in the beginning of this show and realize just how aggressively these powerful forces are trying to manipulate your perception and stand against it. Now stay tuned on this very screen for TLAV Research and Review coming up right after this, where we'll be discussing some of these other issues outside of Yemen, occupied Palestine and Syria, and much more. As always, check out the show notes below, the independent sources, and question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.